So is your memory almost full this morning, or what?
My memory is almost near empty because it's taken so long to record this show. And I did not listen to the album again this weekend. I listened to it last weekend and the weekend before. Or maybe it was 2 weekends and then 3 weekends before, actually, I think.
Well, that's two listens. But first, and news this week, this month, I'm sorry, was the anniversary of Paul and Linda's marriage in 1969. And of course, we have to mention George Martin's passing.
Yeah, it was very sad, but he's been, I guess, infirm for a while. He's just been, how do you say it? How do you say it without being insulting?
Well, I hear he's been deaf for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know about totally deaf. Has he been totally deaf? I know he's been losing his hearing.
That's what I read, that he couldn't hear anything.
Oh wow. And like I was saying, he's or saying to somebody else, he's always looked old. So I was kind of surprised to find out he was 90 because I thought he was over 100. He looked old back in the Beatles days.
Well, what are your favorite George Martin moments on a Beatles disc?
Probably the orchestrations because I really don't. I know that he had a hand in arranging when what arranging the track list to the albums. So I got to hand it to him for that because some of the album sides are pretty cool. And I think he only failed. He liked to start with a big song and end with a big song, end the side with a big song. And I think he did that well, except for one instance that we've already talked about, and that's the I think it's Run for Your Life. Is that the song? Is that the name of the song?
Yeah, that's the last song on Rubber Soul.
Yeah, that's the only one where I think he failed, because that's not the best song to end that album with. But otherwise, I think he did a really good job. And of course, his orchestrations are fantastic. I've been listening to Magical Mystery Tour and Sgt. Pepper over again, and I just love the orchestrations on those albums or on
Yeah,
those songs.
on Sgt. Pepper, we get She's Leaving Home, which is just so sweeping and epic.
Yeah, I don't think he did that one though, tell you the truth.
Really?
Yeah, he did not do that one,
Well, that
I
sucks.
believe. I'm
Well,
pretty sure.
my second choice would be the Penny Lane and Yesterday.
Yeah,
And of
yesterday was the
course.
first one he did that for, and Sergeant, not Sergeant, Strawberry Fields Forever, which is, I just love the orchestration on that. I love that the arrangement on that so much.
Well, with Strawberry Fields, it was ingenious that he was able to take two takes of the song and blend them together.
Yeah, totally separate. One was a rock version, one was the orchestral version, and they were at different tempos, and somehow he and his engineer were able to make them fit almost,
Jeff Emmerich?
yeah, almost flawlessly.
Yeah, those are big moments. And of course, he would orchestrate Live and Let Die for Paul. He would produce Tug of War and Pipes of Peace. Say what you want about Pipes of Peace, but those two albums together definitely have the earmark of George Martin.
He also produced Goldfinger, the song. I didn't know that.
Well, that's cool too.
Yeah, that's a bit of history right there.
And Paul McCartney has announced several dates this week of an upcoming tour, and he promises a new set list.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I swear the last tour just ended, didn't it? Because he
In
had some,
October.
I thought he had some extra dates after that, so he barely took a vacation. Now he's back on the road again.
So April 13th, he's going to be in Fresno, California, the 15th of April in Portland, Oregon, the 17th of April at the Key Arena in Seattle, 19th of April in Vancouver, the 20th he'll be playing in Vancouver again, and the 30th of April in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then wrapping up the 2nd of May in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Sioux Falls.
So a lot of dates there, right in a row. So the question is, will his voice make it? And I'm sure we'll hear various reviews after those shows are performed. I'm anxious to see what the set list is going to be. So Well, this week we're talking about Memory Almost Full, which is the first non-Capitol release in a long time for McCartney. Released on the Starbucks Here music label. And it was an album that sold over 2 million copies worldwide and was certified gold here in the United States with 500,000 copies. So what is your feeling overall on Memory Almost Full?
I bought it when it came out just because I got swept up in the news of Paul McCartney signing with a new label. And it was released as a deluxe version with bonus songs. And it was available on iTunes, and buying albums through iTunes was kind of a big deal at the time. So I actually bought a copy when it came out. I got the deluxe version. And then there was an iTunes exclusive version that had the video, the Dance Tonight video. So I got the deluxe version and the bonus video. So I have like a super duper deluxe version, a deluxe hybrid version. And I listened to it at the time. I was not overwhelmed by it. I didn't think it was that great. And now, listening to it again after 8 years, 8 or 9 years, I really like this album. I'm surprised that I didn't like it that much to begin with. But now, putting it in the context of his later albums that haven't been that good, this one really stands out. I like it better than Chaos and Creation.
Yeah, this is an excellent album, and it's a lot of Beatlesque songs on it. And yeah, it's pretty strong, and his voice is pretty darn good throughout. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of really good rockers.
Yeah,
and one that is just later in the album, toward the end, that it just comes out of nowhere with a unbelievable guitar solo, and kind of reminds you of Helter Skelter, even though the songs don't sound anything alike, but it's just a fun song near the end. Well, you want to get into it?
Sure.
Dance Tonight is the number one track. What'd you think of that?
Well, it's definitely catchy. It was one of the last songs recorded, and it stems from Paul getting talked into buying a left-handed mandolin at a guitar shop by his house that he frequents. And the guy had a left-handed mandolin, and Paul said, "Oh, what the heck, I'll buy it." And he had to teach himself how to play mandolin because it has a different fingering than a guitar or a ukulele. And while teaching himself the mandolin, he came up with this song. And it was all because while he was playing, his 3-year-old daughter was dancing around. So he came up with this song.
Of course, it's the Blame It on Beatrice. Yeah, this song is definitely very catchy. I don't think it's the best song on the album, far from it, but it definitely has that earworm McCartney nod there. It's an alright song, and it's you know, every once in a while he trots it out live, and it sounds good. Mm-hmm. The video was kind of cool with Natalie Portman, I think.
Yeah, she actually murders him in the video, which was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, it's a very strange video. Yeah, but the videos, go ahead.
Now she plays a ghost, and I guess she takes a fancy to Paul McCartney, and the only way they can be together is if he becomes a ghost. So she snaps his neck, kills him right there.
Yeah, it was
what
pretty,
a great video.
Yeah, it's an interesting. I encourage everybody to check it out. Track, these are short tracks, so they're kind of the first couple anyway. Ever Present Past. This is the first single, I believe, released here in the States. What'd you think of it?
It's nice. It definitely sounds like a single. It's nice and peppy, has a nice melody, and it sounds like another song, or maybe a couple other songs. Maybe the verse and the chorus sound like two different songs, but I can't place them. And I also know that this song started as a song called Perfect Lover.
Yeah, this song has some auto-tuning in it, I think. Which sounds very awkward, but overall this is definitely a Beatles type number. It's good, a good song, and it's very peppy, and I like that beginning, that organ or whatever that is at the very beginning, and it kind of thumps through the whole song. It's pretty good. See Your Sunshine, number 3.
This has a nice jazzy kind of sound to it. And according to Pitchfork.com, they said this was the horniest song Paul's ever written.
This definitely has some Beach Boys influence, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. And the song's about Heather, too. And it was written. And Paul's been hanging on to this song for a long time. And when he finally got around to recording it, he decided not to change anything. He just left it as is. So it's a love song to Heather.
Even though they were already on the outs when this album came out.
Yep.
Yeah, this song's pretty good. And I like the Beach Boys nod and, you know, the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I like that a lot. And it's just it's a good song. And for a late period song, I think this is pretty strong. And then he switches gears completely. The song starts out with some Martin orchestrations, Only Mama Knows. What'd you think?
Yeah, it has a very deceptive beginning, and it goes on for like 45 seconds until it actually turns into a rock song, a hard rock and rock song. And according to Pitchfork.com again, they were wondering if McCartney was confessing to trolling airport lounges looking for one-night stands. But in the commentary track, the deluxe version comes with a half-hour-long commentary track where Paul talks about the album. And he says that he was actually writing about a character. And he doesn't do that a lot, but he does enjoy writing songs about completely different people, but putting them in the first person. So he's not confessing to anything. He's just writing about a character who's in an airport lounge trying to find a surrogate mother or a surrogate father.
Yeah, this is a thumping rock song. Kind of reminds me of Jet a little bit. It's just really good, and the vocal is great. He really just rocks it out of the park. Yeah, this is anybody that says McCartney can't rock, there's two songs in this album that proves otherwise. He slows it down a little bit with You Tell Me. What'd you think?
This is a song about Linda, and Paul said it's a tribute to Golden Summers. And it's a nice song. It's a really nice song. Although Paul's falsetto was kind of faltering, which is a shame. You Tell Me line. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to mention the same thing. You're right. It's the falsetto is a little... I don't say it's ear-piercing, but you can definitely tell he's losing it a little bit. But the song is so strong that you kind of forgive it. I like the lyrics. I like the sentiments. And it's just a really nice, tight, 3-minute, 15-second song. The next one is Mr. Bellamy, another character, I guess, right?
Yeah, he wrote it about a man who's sitting on a businessman who climbs out of his office window and just sits on the ledge and is looking down at people, and the people on the ground are telling him to jump or not jump, and Mr. Bellamy just doesn't feel like leaving. He feels like just staying on the ledge. And it kind of reminded me, because it jumps all over the place, and Paul is doing different voices, different character voices. It reminded me a lot of Uncle Albert.
Yeah, it has that vibe to it. I like when Paul switches the voice to the person asking him not to jump or to jump or whatever it is, and then he switches back into Bellamy's voice, and then he's kind of in the third person there a little bit. It's just a really interesting song, and it's so short. There's a lot going on in it. Big thumbs up for this one. Number 7 is Gratitude. I'm not sure how I feel about this one, but tell me what you think.
Well, I can't listen to the chorus without thinking of Spartacus, the Showtime series, because they were always saying gratitude. Instead of thanks, they would say gratitude. And so it keeps reminding me of Spartacus. I like the soul feeling to the song. And I also like Paul's trying out his blues voice again. So I liked it.
Yeah, I'll give you that, the blues voice. Yeah, but it's just too Beach Boys for me. I don't know, maybe it's the harmonies. I don't know what it is. Just too Beach Boys for me. This is the first stumble, I think, on this album, and the only one. So it's not one of my favorites, but I don't skip it. The next, we get into a medley of 5 songs a la Abbey Road, and I think it works much better than his Wings album, Red Rose Speedway.
There you go.
Yeah, this works much better than Red Rose Speedway. So Vintage Clothes, what'd you think of that?
I like this song, and Paul said, I lost my notes. Paul said it's about fashion going round in circles. And like you said, it's the opening of a medley. Those are my notes. But I do like the song. I like just the sound of it. I just like the sound of it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the sound is great. And it reminds me of a little bit of a Fleetwood Mac song, but it's a great number. It's just really, really good. It's very strong to start out this medley. And he rolls right into That Was Me, which is fantastic. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's a lively song. I really like Paul's vocals on this. And it's a wry look at an eventful life is what I put in my notes.
Yeah, he's talking about singing a cappella, and That Was Me on the TV. It's just really, really cool.
Yeah, smoking cobwebs in the cellar.
Yeah, it's just awesome. Kind of like a cavern club, invoking a cavern club of memory. It's just really, really good. And then he goes into Feet in the Clouds, which he slows it down again. And this is a really good song too. What'd you think?
I was uncertain about this song. I didn't know what to say about it. So I wound up writing nothing. But I did note that Paul uses auto-tune. There's like a breakdown at the end of the song where it's just him singing with himself. And there's definite use of auto-tune. And that's like the only thing I noticed. And otherwise, the song's okay. I don't dislike it, but it just went on a bit too long for me. And I really can't think of anything else to say about it.
I find it very, very hard lyric really sticks with you after listening to this album.
He says it a lot.
Yeah, but I like this song. It's a good acoustic number. And I like it. I like it a lot. And it's very reflective, and you know, he's kind of daydreaming. I just like the whole idea of the song. And then he rips into House of Wax, which I have no idea what it's about, but it's just a rockin' number. Do you get anything out of the lyrics?
No, I didn't. I just noted that it was creepy because he's got all these weird sound effects in the background, just really atmospheric sounds, and it gave it a creepy feel.
And the lyrics are creepy too. I mean, isn't there some about burying in the backyard or something? And let me just look up the lyrics quickly. They're quite good. Hidden in the yard, underneath the wall, buried deep below, 1,000 layers. The answer to it all. Lightning hits the house of wax, women scream and run around to dance upon the battleground like wild, demented horses. Hidden in the yard underneath it all, buried deep below 1,000 layers lay the answer to it all. I just really thought that this was a really, really good number. And that, like I said, mentioned before, the guitar solo is just unbelievable. And he screams the standard McCartney scream, and it just sounds great. This is a hell of a song. So I guess End of the End is the next number. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, this is a sad one, because Paul's writing his living will.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a nice living will, because he just wants laughter, stories, and old songs, which is nice. It'd be a nice way to remember him when that sad time will come. But it's just a sad song. It just brings up sad feelings that I don't want Paul to leave. I want Paul to be around forever.
This is just, he's really looking at his mortality, and I think it's a beautiful song. It's just beautiful. The lyrics are great, and it's kind of like his own eulogy for, you know, in a sense. Just very, very good. And I played this at my grandmother's funeral years ago, and you know, the people that were there, they never heard the song before, but got big praises on my picking this. It's just a wonderful song, really, really good. And then we get into the hidden track, so another hidden track. What'd you think?
Yeah, Paul said that ending the album with End of the End was just too sad, so they stuck this extra song on just to lighten the mood. And it's another one of those songs I was saying in the last album, the songs that sound like Flaming Pie, and this is another one of them that sounds like the Flaming Pie title song.
Yeah, I'm glad it's only a minute 58. It's weird, but it's a jam song, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's a good, I guess it's good. It's a good rocker, but it doesn't measure up to Only Mama Knows or House of Wax. But it's good. I'll give him that. It's interesting. What was on this bonus disc that you have?
It's got three songs plus that half-hour-long commentary track. And the first song is called In Private, and it's basically an instrumental, an acoustic guitar-led instrumental. So it kind of sounds like classical gas, that old instrumental from the 70s, I think. But it rocks a bit more than classical gas. The second song is called Why So Blue, and it's kind of a bluesy song, and I really don't remember it. And then there's a song called 222 or 222, and it's basically an instrumental, kind of a jazzy bluesy song. And it's more rhythm and blues, actually. And it does have some very sparse lyrics, which are basically Paul saying, "Ooh, look at that. Look at her walking, turning my head, taking my breath away," over and over in a high voice, in a falsetto.
Was it good?
It's okay. But I can see why these were bonus tracks, because they really do feel like afterthoughts.
And what was the commentary track? Any earth-shattering?
No, I basically stole his comments from my comments, apart from the mention of Showtime Spartacus, because that was not when he recorded it.
So is this now going to be in rotation on your McCartney playlist?
Yeah, it should be. I feel chagrined that I didn't give this album more of a chance. It's just been sitting in my McCartney playlist all this time, and I've only played the album a couple times.
Yeah, this is a very great album, and he did not do any touring for this album, probably because he was in the midst of the divorce. And when it first came out, this was on heavy rotation in my six disc changer that I had back in the day in one of my cars, and I loved every song on this.
Yeah, I never had the CD of this. I've only had the digital download. And it's taken me so long to listen to this, I didn't even know that the Only Mama Knows track was defective.
What do you mean?
It plays for 47 seconds, and then the remaining 3 minutes plus, whatever, is just static.
So where'd you pick it up at to listen to it again?
I downloaded a version. I found a source.
You should have been able to delete that and re-download it through iTunes, right?
Yeah, but I don't have that program anymore. I don't have iTunes Match or Apple Music anymore.
It should be in your purchased tab on any of your devices. They should store all your purchased music in there. At least it does for me. I would look into that. That's BS. You paid for the album. You should get
the... Yeah, but that was whatever.
2007.
Yeah, it was 9 years ago. So it was easier. It was easier just for me to just download a FLAC version of it and convert it to AAC.
What'd you think of the cover?
I don't even, what is the cover? It's just an easy chair.
Right, yeah. It's an old style chair and with the McCartney's autograph and then the album title.
So what's it even supposed to be? It's
you got me. I thought it was kind of cool though. I like that cover.
I was expecting some kind of gadgety cover for a title like Memory Almost Full.
Yeah, I think
like an LCD screen, an error message on an LCD screen or something like that.
That would have been cool. So yeah, I was looking through here and I thought somewhere somebody had found that Memory Almost Full was some kind of hidden message about Linda.
Yeah, I saw that. Somebody with a lot of time on their hands came up with that.
And Paul didn't even realize that, he says.
Yeah, he didn't. But he wished he could take credit for it. But right. It's a big stretch, too. I know it's on this page, and now I can't see it.
Yeah, I can't find it anywhere, but I remember that. When
Maybe it's on Wikipedia.
I'm there now. I can't find it.
I'm at my usual source, but
Oh, here it is.
yeah, I just found it too. For my soulmate LLM.
Right. Yeah. Even though some of the songs were obviously about Heather. It's funny. I'm giving this a big thumbs up. Everybody should go on various streaming platforms, check this out, and or buy it, whatever you guys do. It's a very, very strong album. Next up is Kisses on the Bottom. I just got to ask you, have you ever heard it before?
No, I haven't heard the whole album. I remember when it came out because he did a lot of interviews and they played a lot of clips. And he also released a video of him singing, didn't he, in the studio? I don't know if it was available for sale or if it was a special or something.
I think it was a PBS special.
And I saw mention of it, but I never actually watched it because I just didn't like the sound of his voice.
Yeah, his voice is definitely a little rough on this album.
Yeah, so I stayed away. I felt kind of embarrassed for him, actually, because he just did not sound that good. So I have not heard this album, and I have not seen that. I have not seen those videos.
Do you own it?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, that's the important question.
I think this might have come out as HD audio, too, on the HD Tracks site, but I don't think it's available anymore. I was thinking it did come out. And I was disappointed because it was the album that I didn't want to get as HD audio.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it next week. But, it's not one of my favorites. But, you know, you got to cover it. George Harrison's birthday was this past month. The I've Got a Beatles podcast did a very in-depth look at all of his Beatle compositions that he actually wrote, not covers, and they rated them from 20 to 1, and no big surprise, but I think Something and Here Comes the Sun were 2 and 1 or 1 and 2.
I don't remember?
No, but I encourage everybody to check that podcast out. It's a pretty good podcast, and they do a lot of in-depth discussion on George in this episode this past week. But they don't like Taxman that much. How's your feeling on that?
I really like it.
Yeah, me too.
It's a great song.
Not to mention that the McCartney's guitar solo in there is unbelievable.
Yeah, maybe that's why they didn't like it, because they knew that wasn't George.
that Taxman's a great song. And I think I Wanna Tell You is another one in there that they didn't care for as much as I thought they should, but that's another great song.
Did you read that George Martin interview that I sent you last night?
I'm going to be playing it this afternoon. You got anything you want to say about it?
Yeah, it was just the interviewer asked him about some of the Beatles stuff and about how George blossomed as a songwriter, and George Martin was saying that his favorite George Harrison song is Here Comes the Sun. Which kind of surprised me. I would have figured he would have said something. But George Martin really liked Here Comes the Sun. And also, George Harrison is responsible for George Martin's least favorite Beatles song.
Which is?
Can you guess?
No.
Only a Northern Song.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But it was kind of funny to see George Martin actually say that out loud. I mean, it's pretty common that's everybody. That's usually a least favorite Beatles song. And it was just funny to see him say it, to see him say it.
I forgot to mention that Ringo is going to be making an appearance at the Fox Theater with the touring band.
The All-Star Band.
Right. I think you mentioned you've seen him, right?
Yeah, I saw him twice at Pine Knob.
Yeah, that would be fun, I think, to see Ringo.
I think the first year was with Billy Preston, which was cool because Billy Preston is one of the fifth Beatles.
Right.
And the next time I saw him was with John Entwistle.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was cool. And it was I was really skeptical when I saw it because I figured, oh, it's just going to be, you know, it's just going to be really lame. But I really enjoyed it. Both times I saw him, I really enjoyed it.
The Who made an appearance also while we've been gone at the Joe. Did you hear anything about that?
A friend of mine, who is a police officer, worked security for that concert. And he said it was good, but Roger Daltrey is definitely losing his voice.
Yeah, I heard that he let the crowd sing a couple songs because he just couldn't do them.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but Pete still sounds like Pete.
Mm-hmm.
If I think Pete should go out on the road solo.
Yeah, I do too. That'd be great. He's got a lot of great songs that he could use, and he's done it before.
He says that this is the last time the Who moniker will ever make an appearance again.
Well, he should have said that a good 5-10 years ago, or whenever John Entwistle died.
Yeah, after Entwistle died, the Who should have just...
Yeah, that's ridiculous. They really should never have gone out under that name again. It should have just been Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend. That should be good enough.
Yeah, an evening with Roger and Pete or something.
Yeah. You know?
It doesn't have to be the Who.
Yep.
I mean, Zach Starkey's been drumming with them almost as long as Keith Moon did. You know, I mean, I heard some good reviews, though. I would have liked to have seen it. They did Sparks off of Tommy. I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm. Well, yeah, he doesn't have to sing.
Well, true. And that's about all I got. So next time we will be talking about Kisses on the Bottom. And that goes into New, which is his last album, and he hasn't, and no announcement this year yet of a new forthcoming album from Paul McCartney. So, kind of strange. And I guess that's it. We'll see you guys when we convene next time, since we're taking long breaks in between shows.